It's all the language of opposites.
Yeah.
Should we do an intro and then we'll go back to this?
Yeah.
We'll
do that. Sure. Yeah, do an intro.
Okay. Welcome back. My name is Keith. Mike shits a bit on this every time. We have two great people on tonight, Jerry and Zoe. My name is Keith.
I'm Mike.
Jerry.
And Zoe.
Nice.
Yes. Mike.
We're not going again.
All right, Mike. We were talking about prison terminology. Because according to Mark, Jerry and Mark think that we're pirates, which I appreciate. Like, they're like pirate stories. That's what Mark's.
Really?
He goes,
kind of a buccaneer thing?
Yeah. Okay. He goes, you guys are like fucking
pirates.
They
are. Right. They are. But they ask that. That's what these stories are. They're sort of like, you know.
I got to, just because I know Jerry likes this shit. So here's another thing. And I fucking wish I could remember it better. This is before my time. Mm-hmm. But they would do a thing called tear talk. So when they were talking on the phones or something, they would talk in a rhyme. And I can't remember a ton of it. But one of the things I remember is like, so like I would yell out, you know, you're yelling out the cells, you know, like this. So you're yelling out for somebody to hear down here, down here. And I would go, Jerry, I'm on the heel and toe to the moan and groan. Right. Which all that means is I'm on my way to the phone.
Oh, right. Right. It's almost like English Cockney rhyming.
It is.
Slang.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's like fucking soccer thug slang.
Totally.
But it's like
soccer thug slang. It's great. Where did that come from?
I don't know. But they have these guys in the 60s and I learned it from guys I was in there with. We didn't talk like that. But my friend Flappers, who also everything he said, he'd be like, hey, you going to the store? Munna. He said that after everything he said. Munna.
What? Wait, say, what is that?
Munna. It doesn't mean anything.
You know
have
what?
I talked about that before?
No, that's amazing.
Sounds
that's
Yiddish.
Just great that you remember that.
I would do anything to get him on here. He had.
Well, just the fact that he's called Flappers.
He had giant ass ears.
Okay.
Catch.
And they called
him. Good catch.
Okay. Yeah.
And he was from Riverside. But everything he said, like, you, I mean, we were just used to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But he'd be like, hey, you going to chow? Munna. No. Like, it was just this like kind of tick thing he had, but he was also like from that generation
like that.
Of tear talk guys, yeah. You know, and I think it was something to do with that. And they talk like in that, because you know, like they talk in like, I'm trying to think of an example. Like they would, you know, they always have codes like, you know, say cell B-102 needs hard candy. And that means kill him. Right. Or cell B-102 needs soft candy. Just stab him. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
And the weird terminology like that, or like, you know, they're like,
but does it change every
once
in a while?
Yeah, hard candy does sound a lot better than murder.
Yeah.
It's definitely better.
Code,
like, oh, hard
right?
candy, awesome.
Because
like
the
that.
Code gets discovered, obviously.
It gets discovered
so
and it
change?
Changes.
It
yeah.
must change.
Yeah, it changes. Because the orders are coming from Pelican Bay and Corcoran and the shoes are where everybody's at, but they have to somehow get either a phone call to someone. Like, they might make a call to you, right? And then, so I call you, and I tell you, you know, in some sort of fucking, you know, underhand thing. So you know, and then Jerry would call you from another prison, right?
Right.
And you would tell Jerry, right?
Yeah.
And then Jerry would call Charlie, and then when Mike would call from his prison, that way everybody knows what the, and then the word just spread. But it spreads very quick.
Very quick.
And, you know, within, like, never takes over a day.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And then they'll have it. Like the riots at, we were in riots one year at Wayside. I can't remember what it was over, but somebody had scheduled riots at the fucking kickoff of the Raider game. So right at the kick, the ball got kicked off in every, you know, building all up this, because it's all up a hill in Castaic, and everything everywhere just went off at that time. So everything's very, but it's fucking wild when you know, it's over such minimal shit. You know, you would think like, it's not
you
like
see,
you're robbing
it's,
a bank. You know
actually,
what I mean?
Like,
but it ain't minimal when you're in there because it's all you got.
That's true. Yeah.
It's just different. Like, the reason that I really loved this podcast was because I'm from a whole different world, from New York and London, obviously. But so hearing you talk right now about the prison system, like, I have no idea, really. And it's all new. And the gangs over here, you know, they're different towards East Coast, which I've just become so familiarized. And even the, you know, the lifestyle over there and the whole, everything that you talk about on this podcast is different. Like when you guys talk about driving, I cannot fathom driving the way I used to get fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
So I was never good at it.
Props to all of you for that.
I just did it a lot.
That is mind-boggling to me.
It, but I think
I was notoriously
mind-boggling. I had trouble staying on the platform in a subway with that. Like,
but you also put a Mercedes in a swimming pool.
I did. So
not to brag.
That's why I don't try. Yeah, that's my problem.
No, but I have a theory about that. Yeah. About, like, you guys from New York and London, because they're walking cities. Mm-hmm. And, like, if I wasn't driving, or not everybody, but I mean, most of the time when I get busted, I'm in a car.
Oh, always.
Almost always. So if you're walking,
the
I
times
feel like you
have
a longer,
been busted,
you know,
and you get more fucked
been
up.
In a car.
Yeah. Way more fucked up.
Way more fucked up. And the driving, when I lived upstate for about 4 years in the hopes of getting clean in the early 90s, did not work for one second. But the driving was always impeded my ability to get really fucked up or to be able to do the type of damage that I wanted to do. Or it would end up in a car wreck.
Huh.
Or getting pulled over. Or not finding gas, or losing the car. Who needs it? It's like, who needs it? Yeah. So, props to all of you.
I really think that's why there's so many people in prison in California, because they're driving.
Always.
I've met a lot of drunk driving. 22 fucking drunk driving.
Hell yeah.
Or something crazy. Like a guy who looked like he'd be your dad. You know what I mean? I'm like, what the fuck? I could tell. I'm like, you fucking work at a bank?
Everyone I knew upstate was dumb for drunk driving.
Yeah.
That's loads of them. It was just endless.
Yeah.
In that world.
How do you do 22? Like, what's it?
Yeah, that's
like,
bad.
What do you think when you get hammered behind the wheel time 21? You think, like, this time I've got them?
I'm amazed. Yeah.
I mean, what the hell? Like, it's not worked out at all, ever.
I also think it's like, I remember talking to, there's a guy, this guy had like six of them, you know, and he was doing like 16 months or 2 years, which isn't that bad. You'd like 9 months or a year off of it, but he really felt bad, like he got a raw deal, you know, and we were talking to him. I'm like, dude, you could have fucking killed, you don't understand. I mean, granted, you're not a criminal like we are, like we understand, but it's like, there's consequences, like you could fucking kill somebody, you know, most likely an innocent person.
They're like Laura Bush.
Yeah.
She got away with it.
Yeah. Fuck, man.
Right.
They really all get away with it.
They do.
Did she kill someone?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Driving.
Do you have a good speedball story, Jerry?
I don't think there are any good speedball stories, man. Yeah. I mean, when I think about speedballs, I think, like, I'm still doing them. I'm still sitting in a fucking room, and it's 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Because time stops.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I used to do them. I mean, this is a nice, friendly story. I mean, I used to do them with this guy up in an SRO in San Francisco, an old African-American cat who was a jazz guy. And he would just, every time he'd take a hit, he'd be like, I got high with Charlie Parker. He ain't nothing. You know? So he went down through every jazz guy.
That he got loaded with?
That he got loaded with and was in the joint with and everything. And I just listened. But the weird part was, every time he shut up, he would turn around and do something between his legs with the needle, and I never knew what it was.
Oh, man.
Groining.
I mean, what are you, femur? I don't know.
Groin artery. It's hitting the artery, right?
In his penis, you think?
I don't know what it, I purposely looked away.
Because
it could have gotten to a strange place,
and
I started looking.
Down the side. Right?
I don't know if that's
right
down the middle.
I mean, there's a lot of fleshy arteries.
I've known guys who didn't have any veins who shot it in their
dicks.
You know,
shot it into your penis.
Hell yeah.
Oof.
You got to have a steady hand, huh?
Yeah.
One wrong move.
You got to have no more veins left.
Yeah. Some people don't. Like Todd has a hard time getting blood taken. You know?
I know people that don't. Yeah. Straight. Have to go in their neck. Straight.
Yeah.
I have the opposite. They're great big veins, but they're all sclerosed.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't understand, you know, and they're like pounding it in there with like a chisel trying to
get in. You can look and just see them.
You can look at them
and
they're like just, you know, they're hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember I was in prison with this guy.
That's such a junkie conversation.
Yeah. There's a guy I was in prison with, this Mexican dude. He had, like, they look like, the best I can explain, they're kind of cool looking weirdly. They weren't tracks, but I guess he just shot coke.
Mm.
But they were black lines. They almost
have
like
the black lines.
Drew him with a Sharpie.
I have some black lines that went up that. And that was from, I used to think that I was being sterile and I would burn the end of the needle, which then turned left tattoo marks.
Are you serious? Yeah.
That's what did it to me.
That's what the black line
that's
is?
The black lines are dirty, or it's a tattoo from burning the end of the syringe.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Fuck. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's what I got. That was my
Do you have good speedball stories? I mean,
I've never done speedballs. Oh. I just always did speed. Wow.
You said it was such.
Oh, okay.
You know, appetite.
I you just maybe smoked speed or no, shot speed?
I snorted it and I would do hot rails. You know what those are?
No, what's that?
It's similar to smoking it, but you take a glass straw. Uh-huh. And you heat it with a torch until, you know, like how glass will turn orange at a certain point.
Yeah.
So once it turns orange, it's like it's like 2 seconds. You take the flame off and like 2 seconds after it is and you snort the line. So it doesn't burn.
Oh, I get it.
It, you know, turns into smoke on the way in.
Oh.
But if it's sometimes, you know, if it's not hot enough, you end up with like burning speed flying into your fucking nose.
That
hurts.
Would be me all day long.
Yeah. But
I could never get that right.
You
sure.
Snort it and then. You exhale a big cloud of it. Did you ever do that?
No, I never did a hot
rail. It sounds magical, but I don't think I could get it right.
I straight for the
diac.
Just get the glass.
Oh, you were smoking.
I mean, I wasn't a... No, I mean, I was, again, equal opportunity. Like, I, you know, whatever was there seemed interesting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was fun. That whole ball... business, you know, I'd never experienced that on the coke. I'd never done that part of the, just wasn't in the repertoire. But when it came to speed, there was a.
See, I never really.
Buddy of mine,
I didn't
just
like
would,
it.
He would paint. He would just sit in his garage and paint. That was his.
I
thing.
Know someone that did Rinky Dinks.
And what's that?
You know what Rinky Dinks?
No.
Are? Shrinky Dinks. Sorry, Shrinky Dinks.
Oh. What's
she would color. She would do smoke speed forever.
Oh.
And color in those little plastic things that then you cut out and you put them in the oven.
Really? Shrinky Dinks, yeah.
She would make thousands of those, like key rings and, you know, accessories. Mm. And that was her speed trip. Yeah.
Zoe, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up and how you ended up in New York?
Sure. I grew up in London, England, and I... developed I started using drugs around, I think, you know, 12, was slamming speed at that 13, 14, using heroin by 15, was working the street by 16, and ran away to New York at 17 to work. I rearranged my brain and decided that New York, the Lower East Side, was the place to be. I was going to stop doing heroin. Yeah. And I was going to become a hair and makeup artist for MTV, which I did. And but I developed my problem came back pretty quickly because the East Village at that time, the 80s, was just stone cold, like on every block, and it was like a real sewer, but a delicious sewer. Yeah. You know, it was very artistic. You know, there was a lot of gold there. And so I was very quickly turned on to the artists of that time and musicians and the fashion world. So I became really into that, but I couldn't shake the drugs. I could not shake the drugs for anything. And so, you know, a year here clean, a year here not. But eventually it got way bad out of control. And I was living in the Chelsea Hotel.
Oh, fuck.
The Chelsea Hotel. Mm. Talk about some ghosts. Yeah. Some ghosts. And... I at the time, a trick was paying for this very large room. And I was too insane to work. And I was working in brothels, but at this time I wasn't, because speedballing had just got out of control. I couldn't put one foot in front of the other. But I could sit in the Chelsea Hotel, a room, and write. I was going to be a writer. And, you know, I would start off a sentence and then do a hit. And then 5 hours later, and then it would all be, you know, I couldn't read anything, but I was convinced I was going to be a writer. So about a month after staying in the Chelsea Hotel in this massive suite, and I was stone cold, like had a large bank account. So it was a lot of money was being used, a lot, roughly about 500 to 800 a day. No, it was bad. So, you know, I was overdosing all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Constantly just waking up on the floor, coming around. After one of these occasions in the Chelsea Hotel, I woke up and the sheet had pulled off the corner of the mattress. And it was just a big, square, kingside, dirty old Chelsea Hotel mattress. What do I care? And I see that there's a stain under the bed. They just look to one side, dirty or stained. And curiosity, I pull the sheet back and I see that there is, in fact, a massive brown stain in the center.
Blood.
Of this bed. What, and I'm thinking, really, it's taking a few minutes to come around where I am, what's going on. And I pick the beds, the mattress up, and I look down. And sure enough, to the box spring are rings of brown.
No way.
Mm.
So this isn't a period or a jug of cocoa. This is a lot of fucking blood, right? Because that way, you know, I was thinking that. I go downstairs, knock
turmeric.
On Stanley Bard's door and ask him, you know, I'm upstairs and, you know, I've been there about a month. And I just want to say, like, the bed's got this really nasty stain on it. He's like, what room are you in again? I said, 102. And he was like, oh, well, that's the old room 100. And that's the bed that Nancy bled out on. And we just, sorry, but we've never removed it. Ugh. And it took a minute to suddenly sink in what blood that was.
Nancy?
And it was that Nancy, obviously. Is that Nancy Spongin.
Yeah.
Sid
is
Vicious
that the
story.
Hotel that used to be where all the boys' home was? Is that, or am I
no,
crazy?
No, that's Covenant House.
Oh, okay.
Covenant House. Yeah. That's a whole, which is, that's that other hotel on the west
the
side.
The Hudson or something?
Yeah.
Is that what
Yeah. Over on that side. That hotel will always be near and dear to my heart. I loved it. I loved everything about it. But it had a feeling, and I stayed in that room for about 3 years, and it became a horror story, and the walls were closing in and stuff.
Hold on, 3 years?
I lived there for 3 years.
Okay.
And eventually I went upstate to try and get clean in the early 90s, and it didn't work at all. So I, you know, during this whole period, I'm just completely out of my fucking mind. Like, really, 1 to 10, ticket off schizophrenic, and doing and being supported by a sugar daddy. He's giving me X amount of money and whatever I wanted. So I was dying very quickly. So, you know, long story short, I booked it back down to Manhattan with a guy that I'd met who I eventually married in the 90s. And I opened up a clothing store and I went back to work in a brothel. And the clothing store was rubber clothing, and it was on 7th Street, and it was called Jezebella. And it was all rubber and stripper clothing. And
that's
it was
amazing.
Like, it was great. It was like, and you know, some candles and stuff, but it was really of a time, and it was a great thing. You know.
I love it. Some candles.
Some candles.
She's like, what can we do to liven
like
this
rubber
up?
Rubber suits.
Yeah. I don't know. Throw some candles in.
Some seems candles, like a danger. Light it up over there.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Rubber and flames.
And in there, but the real job was working at the brothel. That was the great job. And the job that actually, eventually, I stopped using drugs. Because to me, there's something really amazing happened one day. And I was as desperate a fucking addict as you could ever imagine, and still am. But it was one day, just the desperation of the speedballing over and over again, the bottle of vodka not being able to stop, and just the pills and the whole thing. And I just came down, and I say came downstairs, I came off a loft bed.
Yeah.
I took a step. I don't know where the downstairs came from. And I saw the drugs there, and I saw the bottle of vodka, and I just went, that's it, I'm not doing it anymore. And I went and got on a methadone program. And that, to me, was the beginning of something. And I opened up the first of 5 brothels with money that I saved. That's so that great. Became a whole career.
That's fantastic.
And and now I'm here, and now I'm in LA. But you know, that went along. That was a nice ride for a period of time until 9/11 hit, and that for whatever reason, and I really don't have that many answers for it, but it ripped the bottom out of the sex industry and that time in New York City.
Really?
It really did. I had about 30, 40 girls working and 2 places running at the same time. One was a hand job joint and one was a full service joint on Park Avenue. And it's just rolling in. It's easy. Why doesn't everyone do it? Yeah. On Park Avenue and 21st Street.
Rich guys need hand jobs, bro.
Yeah.
I love that I love Zoe's thinking, like, I got to get off this heroin. I'm going to go to the Lower East Side.
Yes.
I'm going to open a strip club. Park Avenue seems to
Park
make
Avenue.
Sense.
Like, yeah. It was, you know, location is everything.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a known fact that you can throw a stone and hit another brothel on the east side of Manhattan, probably to this day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, in that area. So, you know, essentially located, everything was great, got busted a few times, you just roll with it. You know, in that situation, it's you don't want to get busted is the matter.
Right.
Yeah, that was bad. And that's why I had to get out of the game eventually. But usually the girls don't rat on you, just go down as one of the girls. I have a lawyer that gets you out the next morning, go right back to work. Well, on this one occasion, the robbery story. This was a situation that rolled into one. It was actually, it was a regular day's work. It was the day before Thanksgiving. So it was quiet. And I was at a Thanksgiving party and I got a call from my security guy going, you have to get down here immediately. We've been robbed. Now, it's like when you get busted.
Right.
Shock. Right? Yeah. I don't care what you've been doing. It's like you just got slapped.
Right.
It's a fucking shock. Robbery is the same. It was like, you know, I drifted down there and I sat outside and I saw emergency vehicles lining up. Now, I wasn't going to get out and go in there with the emergency vehicles lining up. What had happened was that the security had opened the door and been bum rushed by two guys holding 9mm with homemade silencers on them. They tied the girls up, stripped them naked with security, and robbed everyone and took my safe that hadn't been deposited for a few days. So I soon found out it was an inside job,
Yeah. Obviously.
It was a phone girl that I'd fired 2 days earlier for selling ecstasy because I wanted to have this sober brothel. No drugs in the brothel, girls, okay? I'm going to fire your ass. I mean, ecstasy, it was horrible. The girls were getting all horny and acting old, not collecting money and stuff. It was a nightmare. You can't have no ecstasy in the brothel. So I fired her. She set me up. Her boyfriend probably did it. And it was bad. It was traumatic. But we went back to work, but she kept calling the cops. So I would go back to work. The emergency vehicles were there. She would say there was a dead body in the place. When they say there's a dead body in the place, they hold it. They fingerprinted the entire walls. It was covered in soot. Just, you couldn't. Yeah. So the apartment was ruined. And I had to move out and move on. So you get another one and you open up and you get more girls and you advertise and you just do it all over again until you have a kid.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
There's this girl in Ontario. Well, we had one, our friend Diane cooked methamphetamine. This isn't to that scale. It's a little bit of the like white trash version.
I love that. I love that version. Hey, I don't pretend to be upscale. I was very middle range.
My favorite thing is, I knew right when you're like, I decided to quit shooting heroin, so I moved to the Lower East Side. I'm like, that's a great idea. But yeah. I had
it worked for me.
We had there's this woman, a really great woman. This woman Diane, she cooked speed. You know, like so in the 90s, it was. People were at that time the meth here was all made in houses, you know. And but she was a good friend, me and this friend of mine, this guy in a motorcycle club, and like we even had other friends of ours in Ontario, these other like, you know, dudes that would, and everybody would look out for her. And it was pretty amazing because I gotta tell you, like you know, a junkie, they might steal from you, but they just want enough to get okay, you know?
That's right.
Like, a tweaker is the worst fucking human being on the planet. I mean, like, I could have, if I had $100 million and Jerry dropped a $20 bill, I would sit here and think, how the fuck can I get Jerry to go that way? You know what I mean? Like, oh, because I need that. Only because it's a terrible, rotten thing to do. And I really think that, I don't know if it's from staying up so long or whatever.
It fries you.
But this one woman, it's weird. I mean, we all were like so loyal to her. I'm kind of proud of it. Like, and everybody was. And people knew, you know, like, and she had another friend who we had met, and she sold speed out in, like, it was either Ontario or Chino, you know? And she kept getting robbed. And not, you know, like, not to that level, not, like, tied up. You know what I mean? Some fucking asshole would come, because she's a woman with a gun and robber right. shit. And there's this fucking dude named Jimmy from, there's a bunch of dudes from Ontario that are fucking gnarly. And Jimmy was, like, if you looked at Jimmy, he wasn't, he'd look like the least dangerous, you know what I mean? But he hung around with a bunch of, like, mad thugs. But in a weird way, Jimmy was kind of, he was a weird dude, always making shit. Like, one time he had made a thing where he had taken, like, the slugs out of shotgun shells, and he had took a Dremel and sawed it in half, and he wove a bass guitar string through it and got it back into the shotgun shell. And he was explaining to me that he was going to shoot it at a police helicopter because he, in his mind,
I love
the
it.
Thing would come out and be, you know, this, like, two balls on the end of a cord
sure.
and it would hit the propellers and take the, I he, not that I he knew a helicopter was coming, but right. I was just like, I remember that. I was just like, Jesus Christ, I got to get the fuck away from
How'd
Jimmy.
It work out?
He didn't end up doing it, but, you know, he had always had,
he weird, had a theory.
He had a
weird
plan.
Shit.
He had a plan.
And I had asked him one time, because he'd always have a buck knife in an upside down case, you know, like that way. And he had it down to where he could bring his hand down, almost like a gunslinger, and pop it open and open the knife as he was throwing it at this tree in his backyard. And I think, like, out of 100 times, he could stick it in that tree 91 times or something ridiculous, right? Because he just got high and speed and sit there and do it. And he'd have a razor blade when we would go places in his watch band on the other hand. And I'd be like, you know, because we were all carrying guns and shit. And I'm like, what is with the, you know what I mean? Like, what is with all the fucking knives? And he goes, everybody carries guns. And I was like, I don't get it, but okay. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah.
But he had a thing. And so he had went over there. He was at her house because she kept getting robbed or whatever. And these guys came, and these were guys that Jimmy kind of knew, so they didn't think they were going to rob him. And surely, like, they pulled out the gun. Jimmy fucking threw the buck. I mean, I'm telling you, his plan worked out. He fucking pulled the knife. It didn't stick in the guy, but he explained to me, he goes, dude, he goes, that buck knife weighs 2.3 pounds. Mm-hmm. He knew all this shit. Wow. He goes, think about it. He goes, I threw that buck knife. He goes, it hit him in the ribs. You know what I mean? It's 3 pounds. I threw it at him. The other guy, when he saw Jimmy throw the knife, the other guy went to jump out the window, and Jimmy pulled that fucking straight razor out and sliced off a good chunk of this man's butt cheek through the jeans.
Oh, whoa.
Through the jeans. Like, that's how fucking sharp it was. So he made, you know, like, that's how gnarly he was. I mean, like, when he threw the buck knife, they had guns. They started trying to take off because they were like, fuck. So the one guy gets out the window. They keep the other guy. The guy's just, he's just fucking can't breathe. He's on the ground. The guy got hit by the knife. And I, you know, these other friends of ours came over and fucking dealt with them, or they didn't kill him or anything, but, you know, they smashed him or whatever. And then Jimmy had made her, that's another thing, he'd make zip guns. He wouldn't carry them, but he'd make them for other people. And he made her one out of this metal, like some kind of a fucking lipstick container or something.
Wow.
And, but, you know, think about how small it is,
yeah.
right? And it had, I didn't get to see this. I wish I would have, but I did see him making zip guns out of, you know, pipes and shit all the time.
Right.
But this one was out of a lipstick holder for her, right?
That's
and
cool.
And he had told me, he goes, yeah, I made her one. It has a 38 caliber slug in it, which is decent size.
Hell,
you know?
Yeah.
And all this shit. And it had a firing pin in the back of it. Amazing. And a thing on. I mean, this guy, like, he did all this shit with, like, a Dremel. He didn't have, like, a machine shop. You know,
right,
like,
right.
And a couple of weeks later, he called me. He's like, hey, dude. He goes, Janice used that thing. And I'm like, what? He goes, Janice shot some dude with that fucking thing. And I go, what'd you tell her? He goes, I told her don't call me anymore. Because she called excited. And she's like, Jimmy, it worked. It worked.
I'm
and
what?
He's like, what,
oh,
what are
no.
you talking about? She's like, the thing worked. He's like, please don't call here. Because she shot this man with it, you know?
With the lipstick.
Yeah.
With a lipstick. That is brilliant.
Yeah.
I'd love to see
that
contraption.
Great?
What a cool.
That's some popular
item.
Mechanic shit yeah. right there.
Yeah.
That's my white wow. trash.
No,
people robbing
very,
women going
from it.
Yeah. Thought, no, that's pretty capable.
I'm pretty positive people didn't bother her anymore. You know what I mean? Like, she shot that guy, and like, I'm.
Well,
you know,
what
like,
was it for? What did he do?
He was trying another guy trying to rob her.
Oh, I see.
So
what year is this? What
yeah.
year is this?
This is not. It's going to be
Early 90s, right?
Yeah, 90, somewhere between
Could
90.
Could not find methamphetamine
in New York.
And ironically, the first place I ever fucking tried it.
Yeah.
Which is the weirdest, but anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I got it, but, you know, and you could never find it. Not what they call, real stuff. You know, a little bit of crystal here and there, but not like.
See, what we had was all crystal. Like, there was one guy I ran into at a house, like, in Benedict Canyon. This Mexican dude was there, and he had somebody. It was like this yellowish. It was somebody who was new to making it.
Oh, that cat piss.
That cat piss.
Gnarly.
Which you could clean the cat piss, but he didn't even know that.
That was the first time I ever did it, was that crap.
That shit's gnarly.
Someone was like, hey, I don't have any more blow, but I got this. You want to try that?
I grew up on that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, when you were doing it was biker.
In London. In London, when I growing up on that, we call it sulfate.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
That's what it's like.
It was.
It's kind of like fucking sulfate.
It was like biscuits. It was ground biscuits. And the one time I remember that the first time I shot it, I got a migraine from hell. Like couldn't see.
Yeah.
Migraine. Like, what the fuck was in that? Didn't stop me doing it.
Well, Ska was born out of that. Like, Ska and all the mods. Those kids
in
were all jacked up on fucking
Quadrophenia.
Crosstops and whatever madness.
Yeah, well, the English punks, they liked the speed.
Yeah.
They turned it into heroin in the 80s. In about 1980, a lot of the punks that were doing speed in the late 70s had switched to heroin. So the squats where I grew up and then in the areas surrounding had got flooded with that, and it was the thick black tar.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys had tar too?
We
huh?
had tar.
I thought that was like an LA thing.
I never saw the stuff. I never saw that white powder. That shit in New York that I've been for 35 years.
Yeah.
Garbage.
Was that powder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
White, awful powder. Not worth your time of day.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Terrible. Terrible.
That's so crazy because I always horrible thought the China stuff. White was the stuff that
it was
everybody
just stepped on so many
was
times.
Supposed to do. But yeah, I used to get it in MacArthur Park in those little,
you guys had
those
the good
little
stuff.
Hershey Kiss things in a piece of tinfoil.
You didn't get it in balloons?
Yes. In fact, and I had OCD so fucking bad at the time. I used to take the balloon from the man underneath the tunnels of fucking, it's so stupid, right? And I think about it and I'm like, oh, God damn it. And I used to take them back up to my apartment. And then I would take the thing, and because I had OCD so bad, I'd take the bag, put it down, wash my hands, wash around the bag with a little bit of soap around the bag because it had come out of someone's mouth, take the heroin out, wash my hands again.
Whoa.
And then, of course, go ingest the most poisonous fucking thing in the room, right? But
I'm
like a surgeon.
I'm impressed.
There was nothing to be impressed with. I was in the fits of my brain breaking, but you know.
No, I can relate to that. I would drink my wheatgrass and stay internally pure.
Yeah.
While you were shooting up?
While injecting something that was, you know, smuggled up some fucking poor, you know, Guatemalan's asshole, you know, but I'm not going to eat meat.
You know. Yeah, not going to eat meat.
No.
I have clean, to be clean honest, system. Man. I'm going to do just a tiny little bit of ass kissing, and I guess I don't care. It's shameless. But, you know, I remember when Permanent Midnight came out, I at the time had so much admiration for your ability to negotiate that lifestyle so well. That was my takeaway from the movie. Seriously, there are scenes.
I didn't write
the movie,
baby.
I know.
It was a Mormon fellow who had never done drugs.
Exactly. So. And I refresh myself today.
Nice
I went
guy.
Through all the clips on YouTube, and I'm like, oh, fuck, that's right. The baby thing, and this thing, and the, oh, shit. And I was just like, but again, I know what's wrong with me because I walk away and being like, you know, I mean, he's still here. You know? But I was so impressed by that. And I remember thinking in my mind, I had no idea what a Hollywood writer was like, what a director really did. I was trying to be an actor and I was fucking acting the fool. Mm. But I was like, you know, I really didn't understand what any, I came from Rhode Island. Like, you know, I'm from New England. I didn't know shit about what any of this stuff was, but I remember seeing that movie 1990. I turned 30 and I was like, this motherfucker did it. Like, I was like, I want to be the guy who's out of his mind in the meeting and crushing the meeting. That seems to be, like, any dickhead could come out of Harvard with a bunch of money behind him and then go and get into the meeting, and then it doesn't matter what they say. But a maniac who is in the meeting, sweating through the meeting, and still everybody walks away being like, oh, Jesus Christ, that's the greatest idea we've heard all fucking day. That takes a and that's the last I'll say, and I hope I don't embarrass you. But anyway, it's been a privilege to meet you.
Movies are so different from life, you know? Yeah. So
yeah. I had a similar thing, though, Jerry. Yeah. Like, I also think it's Ben Stiller's best performance. I think it's fucking phenomenal.
He was
it's
great.
Like, but I watched that. All I got out of it was like, he's shooting drugs and he's got a job in Hollywood. I literally thought that. I was like,
yeah,
you know, even though
it all worked out.
Yeah.
I seriously was like, I got a shot.
Yeah.
I got it. This is a, yeah.
You gave people hope, Jerry.
Yes.
Hope.
You continue to give hope.
And we're all still here. But for the love of God, thank God. Like, in a certain way, well, thank God.
They cut out the glamorous living in your car, MacArthur Park years, because that's not as glam. So that didn't,
yeah,
make
it didn't
the
fit
movie.
The script.
Yeah. Well, I had read a book on Fassbender, right?
Oh, fucking Fassbender.
And I read a book on Fassbender. Then I saw Permanent Midnight, and I'm like, I probably won't live too long, but it's possible.
Just like, to mention in the same sentence as Fassbender is like a first for me.
Oh, but I...
So thank you.
Well, I, you know, when, wow, I read,
I love that guy.
When I read I Fatty...
Berlin Alexander Platz? Forget it.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, I read I Fatty, I'm like, this is... Because I'm a big reader still to this, mm-hmm, day, but, you know, in prison, we really, like... You have your thing, mm-hmm, and that's the kind of book that we love in prison, like that.
I've heard that, and I feel good about that.
100%. Yeah. That's, and people like might laugh, but we don't read like shit books. There's dudes from like Bakersfield read like Louis L'Amour's. I mean, which there's like
nothing wrong with Westerns.
Guys, no, from Bakersfield.
Yeah. Oh, dude, they Louis L'Amour
is legit,
whoa,
right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Do you know Louis L'Amour?
Yeah,
but yeah.
That's wild.
First Western writer I ever knew what it was. I've never read a single
that
Louis
because
L'Amour.
I visited
but
there as a kid.
I never knew there was that genre.
That is wild. You knew
Bakersfield.
They're
like,
all kind of short.
So
and heavy metal dudes would read like Stephen King
horror shit. Yeah,
yeah, that kind of shit.
Oh, okay.
It really is like that, but. The majority.
What was your thing in there? Would you like to read?
I read, you know what's okay. I read a lot of like weird like history shit, mm-hmm, and, mm, true crime. I read a bunch of Stephen King books. I went on a thing of that. But I remember reading the Hollywood Babylon books and like some TJ, sure, English books, mm-hmm, you know, like the Westies and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah,
he's
those
great.
Kind of things. And I like those, but also a lot of Bukowski. Like,
mm-hmm, I'm a big Bukowski fan.
We got like a...
a library you guys must have had up there.
You know what's... Well, we have a library. But we also have a... Like, once you're in prison, there's plenty of books. And everybody's pretty like...
I used to send people books.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a thing you can do.
Yeah. People would send me... You're doing God's work because it's the greatest feeling in your world.
Wow.
To get
really?
There's a weird thing about getting a new book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
You're just like,
oh, man.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And like, and then in the county jail, which is really fucked up, the LA county jail, like, let's say if I'm reading the first half of a book, but you know, we love books that are Hollywood related too. You know, the guys who are into the Bukowskis and like the, you know, Jack Kerouac, all that,
right,
kind of like the beat stuff.
Right.
Which I think has just been passed down from generations, you,
yeah,
know, from when those guys wrote those books. Mm-hmm. It's just become a thing with us. But I didn't read, like, I can't remember his name. There's a book called, like, Swan Song. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's a real, like, 1,000-page book. But it's like that weird end of the world shit. And I couldn't get into that for some reason, you know. But you like, it's weird, you know, you want, there's a weird thing. Like, everybody in the prison system wants to read about Hollywood things.
Right.
You know, like,
really?
Oh yeah,
it's fantasy, right?
It's fantasy, you know,
it's total,
okay,
fantasy. But it's like, it's like believable. You could see yourself exist. You know, it's,
yeah,
fantasy.
You also want to, like, the Hollywood Babylon books. I think there's two of them, but
yeah,
they're very. You know, you like. It's a sick way of thinking, but you kind of read that and you're like, oh well, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of like me.
Yeah,
I get it. Like, relatable.
Yeah.
Relatable. Sure.
So
everyone wants to find something relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bukowski books is weird. They're like,
oh, absolutely.
I can't, but those are always weirdly in really good shape.
That's
like,
interesting.
Yeah. Like, they're never real fucked up and dog-eared. But like the horror books, for instance, right? Or the Louis, a lot of times you get a half of one because
they fall
say,
apart.
Well, no, I'll be reading it. You bend and it? Somebody comes in, doesn't have anything to read. You'll rip whatever you've read off the first half and give it to them.
Oh, I see.
Then
I
you
see.
Finish reading it and then give them the second half. And it never...
It never, just keeps never going matches up.
And in a beautiful way, inmates dance.
But I'll tell you, I'll cop to this. This is a funny thing I think you'll appreciate. I don't know who in the fuck gave it to me, but somebody gave me a Sidney Sheldon book.
Which
everything is like, whatever, you know, you're on a yacht in the Riviera and then scandal happens. And I went on this string where, like, I just got in a thing where I'm like, I need to read every one of these.
Right.
And, like, I'd get out. I'd be out for a few months, and I'd come back, and usually there'd be a new one out. It's that much. You know what I mean? It's like, because it's just this weird recipe he has, and it's the same book every time. But
speaking real quick about prisons and writing, Dannemora, what a trip. I got obsessed with the show. I watched. I had no idea that you were involved. I went back and looked, and I was like, "Oh my god, that's rad!" And two of those the episodes that you wrote were incredible. What was that like? And you're working with people that you worked with. You're working with the dude who played you.
Yeah. Well, we're good friends, so we're gonna watch the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Best man's wedding shit. Yeah. So we go back.
Oh shit.
Oh, so you guys are pals.
Yeah. I was like a hired gun. I mean, two guys cooked up the whole thing, and you know, then they brought in somebody, so it would sound fucked up and, you know, mildly authentic. But yeah, man, it was deep water.
Yeah, that is deep water.
I'm glad you liked it.
I think it's fucking fantastic.
Oh, I did too. I loved it.
He's such a good director.
We got obsessed.
Yeah.
I love him because he has to fight for that respect because you don't associate him with that.
And how about those prison scenes?
All he's wanted to do
is
direct Dog Day Afternoon. His whole life. That's what he wants. That's his, like... His aesthetics.
I understand that because
70s.
That could be the greatest movie ever made.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
But that's what I'm saying. So that's like...
Dannemora feels like that shit.
But Dannemora,
right?
Why hats off to him, man.
It was
like,
that scene
when they're in the sewing shop, right?
Yes.
And we're starting to first sort of establish the relationship between her and, you know, fucking you got now I'm gonna blank out his name like an asshole. Benicio. And the face, like his face is insane. Like who gets that face? Like
he's a trip,
watch.
Right?
You watch that guy do anything, just drink milk.
I agree.
And it's he's got that.
They're all so good.
Brando-y quality about it. There's a Raul Julia quality about it. Like it's crazy. And then that relationship starts to build up. You're like, this is like this scene. They looked like Norma Rae. You know, like the shit, the way they filmed it and the way they covered that room. I was just like, oh, this is like real old school. The pace was old school. Was that? It gave everybody time to like meander and have some character time. And and then you see how people ate it up. They ate it up. Like there wasn't like there was any question about whether people fucking liked the show. They loved it.
Well, it was up for 12 Emmys.
Well, yeah, it went 0 and 11. But hey, you
what's
know,
that?
It went 0 and 11 at the Emmys, but. It's the honor of being nominated.
I think if you're nominated, I honestly think it's the same thing as winning.
It's the same.
I
really do. You mean the awards for show business?
I'm with you.
But there's something that's like, I don't know. For me personally, I love something that has things that actually happen. And I know Hollywood always does whatever they want with things, but it's still nice to know. Same thing with the Hollywood Babylon books. The Dannemora thing, I like the fact that actually happened as opposed to like Prison Break, which, you know, people were talking about and my wife or something, you know, and I was like, look, I'll try. But I, you know, like, I'm like, okay, first off.
You watching Prison Break, I would love to see a movie. I would make a movie about you watching Prison Break. That is incredible. Silas was on fucking Prison Break. Our friend Silas was on Prison Break playing the crazy guy who, like, jumps off a water tower.
Well, me and my friend were watching Oz. This is when I was newly sober. I was a couple years
how
sober.
How great was Oz, though?
It Jesus was great. Christ. But I was like, it was fantastic.
But for you, it wasn't real, right?
Well, for me, it's not that it was
the theater the part.
No, you know what is real? The politics part is real.
Yeah, yeah.
It is totally. But the thing is like that whole thing is about politics. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, it's possible. But the to act when it comes to like the Aryan Brotherhood or something, you know, it's like they're not. Oz, I thought, made him a little bit too neo-Nazi-ish. And they're not neo-Nazis. They're not anything like the Klan or skinheads or something like that. You know, I mean, Nazi skinheads or whatever. They're, you know, it's definitely like, they're for, you know, trying to defend each other, but it's such a mixed bag. You know, like, the guy, like, the arguably the most, well, right now, the most powerful guy in that thing is a Jew.
I was about to ask you. That's true, right? Yeah.
The Hulk, yeah. T.D. Bingham. Yeah, like, I mean, the guy... The most powerful man, you could say, in the entire United States prison system is that man.
Wow.
Who has a swastika on this arm and a Star David on this arm, and nobody has a fucking thing to say about it. Wow. He's also like...
Now, how did he get that type of power? Like, what did he do to gain that?
You know, he's a killer.
Like stone cold. Like, well, you know, you look in his eyes.
He has a rabbinical quality that people can relate to.
Because it's not... That, but you know what the thing is it's they're not just out to get people of other...
Well, it's not one-dimensional.
No, so, not at all. Yeah. But like, you know, it's like, it's funny because, you know, like, I'm not saying there's not guys in that prison gang with swastika tattoos, but it's not, it's very few. You know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah.
You could reckon, they'll have a shamrock on.
Right, that's sure. Yeah, it's like a shamrock
with the 666 in the leaves, you know, or like, or like, but it's also, you know, it's fucked up like any other gang, but it's like, I'm like, the whole thing was ran by, you know, two guys, and one of them is... Guaranteed the most, like, I mean, like,
how old is he?
Oh God, he's got to be 70.
Been around a while.
He's
got to
be 70, yeah.
And they're in like Florence, Arizona, in the federal prison system. You know, so it's they're in the federal prison system, which, but everything could, happens from them. There's guys in other prisons who run things,
yeah.
But what they say is that's the God's word.
Yeah, are their powers unique to the? Just because I'm confused a little bit, are their powers unique to the prison system?
Yes.
Like, is that how that works? Because you know how, like, you have Italian mobsters, right? You have mob.
Yeah.
I mean, when there was the mobsters, they would be in jail, and you would kind of have, they would be reaching outside to get to their guys, but they would have the same authority in prison that they would have out in the world. Are these guys, do they develop their authority strictly within the prison system?
Well, they, you know, it's a, it takes a lot to become a member of, like, one of the tips, the guys who run it, right? Like,
right.
The guerrilla family or the Mexican mafia or the AB is, the thing is, you never see them. Like, you'll never meet them. They're all in fucking one-man cells for life. Like, nobody has... any contact.
What's
with
the Mexican mafia, the head guy of the Mexican mafia?
That's hard to say. You know, the guy who ran it when I was in there was a guy named Joe Morgan, white guy.
Okay.
Who, he died in like probably 93. Mm. That movie American Me is pretty true to form.
Right. That's like, his story,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, they got themselves into a lot of trouble because they don't want anybody knowing that story. But, you know, he had the wooden leg.
Did they
want
to kill Edward James Olmos after it came out?
Yeah, I talked to his son about it.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, they killed a bunch of people, like three or four people that worked on it. And it in the beginning of the movie, you know, they have, I mean, basically, like, this powerful guy in a prison gang, you know, getting raped in juvenile hall, which I highly doubt happened. You know, I highly doubt it. Like, because it was like whatever, but I think that's where they really made the mistake. So they killed, like,
so wait, dudes got killed?
Yeah, like three or four
worked
people.
On American Me.
Yeah, a woman, her son, and some other guy. Now, I knew the guy who drew all the tattoos on the people at that time, and I saw he worked for Mark Mahoney, and I was like, fuck, man. Because I was like, I hope they don't kill him. You know what I mean? Like,
so, but, what, like, why? What was going on? Just the...
Well, they told the story of this thing. Okay. And they, what had happened was they got these advisors who are people who had grown up in the barrios, you know, and, like, kind of cobbled it together. But that movie, like, the stories you hear in the joint are roughly along those lines. But there's no, like, talk of, like, you know, this guy getting... They took some weird fucking, like... Very dangerous thing.
That's what got them all killed, though.
Yeah.
Was that particular...
100%, yeah. And I think that they tried to ask them for permission, and they said no, and they did it anyway.
Right.
So, and they're, you know, it's very easy for them to reach out, you know, because they control all the, you know, gang members or whatever. But the, you know, they're, like, the guys who run everything are all in one-man cells, you know, in the shoes. And they, like I said, they'll send messages, like, in... They'll write them like in urine and shit, and like you heat them up over a fucking stove, and the message shows up on the wild, like, you
wow,
know, fucking
yeah.
Mission Impossible shit.
That's great. Yeah.
And but they, you know, like, they're dudes that are just, you know what I mean? It's like the fucking terror dome. Yeah. You're just living there, like, and at that time especially. Now it's, I think it's fairly easy to do time nowadays. If you watch like Lock Up or something, they have like special needs yards and shit, so the trash can all, you know, child molesters and predator, you know, any kind of predator. So people who prey on women or old people or shit like that, they're all in their own thing. They have
is
to
that
be.
For is that but no, I mean, is that really how it is?
Mm-hmm.
Really,
it wasn't when I was in there, but it is now.
Mm. They got it like,
yeah, because they at Old Folsom, they would throw the motherfuckers off the teeters.
Yeah,
they dropped a trash can. I think I told you that, right? They dropped a trash can full of water on a dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, from fucking mm-hmm. four stories mm-hmm. up.
Wow.
Like, they're gonna get you. You know what I mean? Like, by
yeah,
no matter what, they're gonna get you. Yeah. If you're in the hat, they're gonna get you. Like, they're, because that's everybody's concentrating on who's in the hat, right?
Sure.
Like, okay, and I mean, they would fucking that. San Quentin and shit and Old Folsom. They back then, they would kill cops. They would fucking, it is fucking wild.
Yeah, what are the cops like in there?
You know, the older ones are cool. I know that sounds weird, but
really,
90% of the old ones are cool. In that, they'll
why
tell you.
Why is that? Why is that?
You know, a lot of them have kids and wives.
Nothing
and
to prove.
Sort of been that, done that.
Type yeah, they don't want to get in any fucking trouble, but okay. They also don't want somebody molesting their kids, right? So. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I get it.
This guy's going to get out. Saying. You know what I mean? Like,
got it.
Let's,
yeah, no one wants a molester.
Yeah. So it's like, let's cancel you're that right. check before it gets, you know, got you it. Know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And okay. They,
you know, so, but the last time I was there was 97 or 98. And, but that time, younger ones were starting to come in and they're not like police officers. They're like just any, you know, anybody who lives in the area because, you know, it's the middle of fucking nowhere and they'll train them.
To be corrections officers.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So a lot of them are like big mouths and you know, a lot of them are like, some of them are like ex-military guys and shit. That's all fine, but it's like, you know, like you're talking about like dudes that make weapons out of fucking toilet paper. It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's all, you can't, nobody can, you know, you can't really, you can't disrespect the cops and they can't disrespect you. It's kind of a, but you know, younger ones will come in there and think that they can, you know.
Oh, okay.
And, but in the fucking, all the way up through the 90s, they were killing them all the time.
Yeah.
You know, then they'd come back and kill, they, wild shit. I don't know if you saw, there was a thing in the news years ago, but in Corcoran, the shoe, because you know, the shoe is the secured housing unit. So you're in the hole basically. But they would like let out a Norteño and a Sereno at the same time and like be placing bets on them and shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know.
The gladiator fight.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That was the big scandal, right? Mm.
They got busted, like cockfighting human beings.
Whoa.
But in answer to your question, I think the rules all come from here. Like the brand started here. The Aryan Brotherhood started here.
Yeah. Mm.
And then moved into the federal system. But, you know, like there's other ones that I don't know much about. It's just shit I've seen on TV. But like there's the Texas, the Aryan Brotherhood of Texas and different places. Different states have. Mm-hmm. I've never been to prison in a different state, but they have different.
I'm sure, yeah.
Shit, you know,
yeah,
they
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
But I think the trends all come from here, weirdly. Can I ask you a question, Jerry?
Anything.
Can you tell us a story about when you were shooting speedballs and hallucinating seeing Alf?
Here we go.
Dude, it's just one of my...
Follow me to my grave. Well... You don't need to shoot speedballs to hallucinate Alf. You know, I think it was hallucinogenic for me.
Oh,
being in that situation. But you have to understand, it's kind of a myth, kind of an urban legend. I never really was on staff on the show. I was just like a visiting hitman who came in and did a couple.
Yeah.
But once you put it in a book and once they have a furry creature in a movie,
yeah,
that's it. You're the guy who created Alf for the rest of your fucking life.
Oh, you know? I didn't think you created, but I just thought you had this, you know, like.
Well, I was there. Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy, actually, they didn't shoot Alf that much. I mean, he was, there was a little fellow
mm-hmm.
who did him. And the rest of it was a puppet. It was just a puppet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was actually a little guy, I think a little Hungarian fellow, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that right?
Crowden. I might be making that up, but I'm pretty sure it's true. My Alf lore is a little rusty.
A little Hungarian.
But yeah, I mean, if you ever hallucinated on speed, but I mean, you can hallucinate on that shit. Yeah.
I have on speed just from being awake too long. Yeah.
But I mean, it wasn't restricted to being on Alf. I mean, I was a pretentious guy who wanted to be like a writer. So I had these TV gigs and I was just like, ah, what the fuck am I doing? So the way I handled it intelligently was to shoot up in every fucking bathroom. and then not be able to leave the bathroom. Because when Coke's involved, you don't get out of the bathroom
That's
for
right.
5-6 hours. So there was a lot of explaining.
Yeah.
And yeah, it started on Moonlighting when I started shooting up. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And then I decided to get the, I'll tell you real quick, I got the idea to do a book. And this was sort of before computers, but I was writing about, I'm in my office and I'm shooting, and I didn't realize that they were all connected. So everybody was reading my ongoing saga about getting like, I got some blueberry scones and some coffee and I'm going to fix right now. And then
no
I'm going to jump in. Yeah. And
then
I walk out there
one.
And like the looks on their faces, it's like, oh, fuck me. And it went on for like a week. Nobody told me. I never left the office
they
anyway.
They just kept reading the story?
No, I was the guy who pissed in a jar in his office because I didn't want to go to the bathroom. You know? Yeah. So, yeah.
That
was my start in, yeah.
What was that like writing on Moonlight? I mean, what a strange...
Once they hired me, they couldn't fire me. So I was pretty much just locked on the Fox lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I wrote one half of one episode that they had to give me a credit for. The rest was just like, I don't know what's wrong with this guy. But I'm liking his memoir.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Are you writing anything right now?
Yeah. I'm
doing book
I got a book. I did a thing for Vice where I went to... It's a six-part thing that came out a couple years ago. I went and did Holocaust bus tours.
Yeah.
Where I rode around Poland and Germany with a bunch of people from the Midwest who had never seen a Jew, and then would go to death camps and would live together for like 18 days. So I'm doing a book based on that.
That's great.
Lighthearted romp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because death camp tourism, it just freaked me out. I mean, I'll just tell you one quick story. When I was there the first day at Auschwitz, I'm just standing around like a mook, and all of a sudden I see these like three Thai girls, and they're like little, you know, 14, 15, and they're running up to grandma, and they thought I was Michael Richard.
No.
And they wanted me to sign an autograph. So on two levels,
yeah,
it's horrifying. A, I'm not Kramer. B, yeah, do you sign an autograph at Auschwitz?
Yeah.
You know, when you're not even the guy, you know. So it was a moral dilemma.
Yeah.
You know? I had to wrestle to the ground. So, yeah. So, I'm working on that. And then I'm doing another movie for Ben's company.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. That's great, man. I'm excited.
And, yeah.
What are you doing now, Zoe?
Okay. I have started from the only job I ever had was working in the fashion industry and being a sex worker.
Yeah.
So, which were both
same.
Amazing jobs. And, you know, I had a really very positive experience in the sex industry. I was extremely lucky. I was in it for, you know, decades, but really it afforded me some fantastic women in which to get sober around at a very critical time when I don't think that I could have found an environment where I had women around me where I was making shitloads of money and being a total badass on top of it, which was a brothel.
Yeah.
You know, it was just such a community. And these weren't drug users. These were just regular girls. I was always a drug user. So, you know, one or two maybe sniffed a bag of dope now. Nothing like what I was doing. So that was a really positive thing. So coming out of that, when you leave that world behind, there is no manual for what does an ex-brothel owner do? What does an ex-madam do? You know, you find yourself at X age, 40, 30, whatever it is, when you decide to give it up and sort of go like, what next? Well, I decided to start an ASMR YouTube channel. What is ASMR, you ask? It stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, which basically, when just broken down, means the sound of falling rain or screwing of a certain lid might be a satisfying sound to you. I know I sound like a fucking lunatic right now.
No, it's sound
not
that
really.
Makes your,
okay,
it's the
you
hair,
can,
no. makes the hair stand out on the back, on
that's
the back
it.
Of your neck.
You kind of get, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So I've been making, practicing and making videos of this because for me, it's a little bit of that world. That's why I led up to it with what I've just, my lifestyle, because had the bottom not fallen, besides, I was actually looking at going back into the sex industry last year and opening up another brothel. But what Trump did was he took the advertising down all nationally in Craigslist and Backpage for all prostitutes across the country, which in turn has been horrific for sex workers because women have had to hit the street to make ends meet. And within the first 2 weeks of this, 12 women had gone missing. It's been a catastrophe. So women that I know that own places in New York City and that still work have been hit really hard by this. And so, you know, I wanted to do something in that vein. I couldn't go back into that anymore. After that happened, it was like, okay, this is not working. There is, the money is not to be made anymore. Have to move along. So it took a long time to sort of settle with. There is never that immediate thing. I have gone fucked my life up so badly. Like, I brought it to such incredible depths that unless I changed everything, I was going to continue. And it took some sort of a glimmer of light, the way that I could only think like that. Because I heard people say this. That didn't make any sense to me before. Change what? Change everything? I don't change the shit. I want to do the same shit that I'm always doing. But I literally did. And that was like, because I didn't really know how to work computers or take pictures and stuff like that. So it was started with taking videos on a cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, starting and then processing and learning how to do it on a binaural microphone and what you're doing right now, all this type of stuff. So I sort of started learning that slowly. But I, you know, I've really invested into this and I love the idea of it. I've got a really good response of it. So I have always branded myself. I've had various different businesses along the way. And I found that there was something really interesting about YouTube that given my background, that I thought that I could take advantage of and turn it into a money-making business.
Yeah, I think it'll work.
Yeah.
I mean, people, that's the way of the modern world.
Right now, especially videos. Like,
everybody's running on such high anxiety in this.
Yeah.
Well, that is a big part of it. And the ability that a lot of people are very lonely. And there are a lot of people that watch these that don't have human contact with anyone.
Yeah.
And they are watching these videos to feel the human contact that someone is.
I've almost had years like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is taking a really dark turn.
I think the term is shut in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You just sent Jerry back to the bathroom on the Fox lot.
Like, yeah.
Jesus.
But I mean, while we are doing plugs, you know, I am doing Permanent Midnight too.
Shit.
Now I'm an asshole and I can't blame drugs.
You should.
It's in the book stage, you know. But
you should.
You guys have inspired me.
I think it's great. Thank you. I mean, I fucking love that movie. I love that one. I love Withnail and I.
That was so good.
Yeah.
Richard Grant, man.
Yeah,
man.
He's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Did you see that growing up, probably?
I didn't.
Oh,
no,
you should watch it.
Really?
I'm sure Jerry has.
It's, yeah, it's the most so British good. Film ever made.
It is.
Yeah. Wait, what is it called?
Withnail and I.
Oh, no, Withnail I haven't. And I, no. Yeah.
Ralph Steadman did the poster.
Did he? Shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
He did the poster. And Richard Griffiths, I guess, I don't know why I'm saying E. Griffith. It's Richard E. Grant. He plays an incredible role of this gay uncle who they go out into the countryside with, and he's just, you know, it's a very good.
When I was a kid, you just reminded me of something. Gay uncles, but when I was, we're like 13 or 14, me and these friends of mine, this is in like Covina, we're like smoking weed. My one friend goes, "Hey, let's go to my gay uncle's house. You know, we can have some drinks with him and his husband and shit." We're like, cool, right?
Mm.
So this is like 1983 or 84, but we're in this like Toyota pickup. We're driving. We get off in Laverne and we're driving. And all of a sudden, it's a pretty big street called Fruit Street. And we turn left on Fruit Street. And I look at my friend. I was like, does your gay uncle live on Fruit Street? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, I don't know how I didn't see that coming. But that happened.
You just thought of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I want to read your memoir.
Yeah.
You got much better material. You got more to work with. Yeah.
There's a lot of other, the methamphetamine thing, there's a lot of other weird shit. There's a place called Chem Lab. I think I've talked about this on here before, but in Placentia, which is off the 57 freeway, kind of by Fullerton. And there's a place called Chem Lab, and I've been there several times, but you could go to Chem Lab, right? Which was basically a place you'd buy for chemistry supplies, flasks and beakers and all, anything you can imagine, a big place. And you could also buy 10 pounds of iodine crystals per year and 10 pounds of red phosphorus per year. But when you came, you had to have your driver's license. They would take a copy of that. They would write down your license plate number and, you know, sell you 1 pound, right?
Right.
Of this. You'd take that. And I mean, it's, we were going there and like picking up like junkies over by there. We'd pick a junkie up and take him over and have him go by. Yeah. You know,
but, a Smurf.
Yeah. Exactly. For real. Yeah. A Smurf for real. So we would do that shit. And I, for years, I mean, this went on for fucking years. And I'm like, I even then I was like, does anybody think how fucking crazy this is?
Oh,
like,
no,
we're buying
stuff.
Everything to make meth except for the ephedrine from one place.
That's amazing.
Like the flasks, the beakers, you know what I mean? Like anything you can
imagine.
And
they knew, right?
Well, eventually it got raided and shut down.
Wow.
But I mean, it was there for, that's why I think it had to be set up there because it was just there for fucking ever.
Right.
It's not like it was a big secret. Everybody went there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Supply and demand.
Yeah. It was, but I, yeah, me and John had went there, I remember, for Pierre, you know, bought some, a fucking, like two dudes in a Honda Accord buying a flask like this big and shit. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, science project.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The back to school set.
Yeah. It was.
I had a chemistry set.
Did
I did.
That's how it all started.
No, I kid you not. I was 11. And don't think that I wasn't trying to like go through all those to see if there was something in there that I could snort. Absolutely.
Baby's first syringe.
You couldn't.
Nowadays, like my friend who's coming on next week, he does these. I got to send you his book too. Jude Angelini. Did I tell you about those books? You'll love him. But he's coming on next week. But he does these drugs that are like, I don't even know what, it's like A2749. They're these like weird science drugs that dudes make. I think they're hallucinogenics, but I don't
know.
That's
going to be a good show.
Yeah, that's going to
be a good show.
I'll send you his books. You'll love
them. They're all mostly derivatives of like DMT and you know, they're all trying to provide some sort of intense hallucinogenic.
Yeah.
Well, they're about to legalize mushrooms in Oakland, right?
Yeah.
Or something?
It's been a while since I've done some mushrooms. I mean, decades.
I've never done mushrooms.
I only got my hands
one of your
on
yets.
Them a few times.
Have you done them?
Well, of course, I've done all this shit. Yeah, when I was a kid, sure.
What is the first
drug I did was mescaline before I even ever got drunk.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was like 12.
What was there any drug that did never give you a bad shake?
That didn't give me a bad shake? You mean that worked the whole time?
Yeah.
No, because by its nature and by the nature of me, I'm going to make anything into something that will fuck me up. You know, that's just how. That's nothing to do with the drug, though.
Mm.
I mean, it could be ketchup.
Yeah,
you know, it wouldn't matter. It's a personality disorder, right?
100%. I agree.
So I don't want to give drugs a bad name.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. You know,
Jerry's a bad name.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think. Yeah, that's a very good question.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Have I ever seen a ghost? Again, only when I used to look in the mirror when I was shooting speedballs. Yeah, little ghost with my face. Talking shit. Yeah.
That's amazing. He'd just be saying shit to you?
Yeah, and then my lips would be moving. Yeah. And I'd be hearing it. Never happened to you? Come on, man.
That's amazing, though. No, that's great.
You didn't ever have that out-of-body dissociative kind of?
No.
Well, see, now I'm embarrassed.
No, you shouldn't.
Just kidding. But yeah, I would, the bathroom sessions.
The bathroom sessions.
Staring at the mirror. You stared at the mirror, right? Shooting shows.
Never stare at the mirror. No, that's the rule, right?
That is the rule. But once you're in.
Once you're in.
You can't get out.
It's very difficult to get out. It gets pretty
sweet. I was staring at tiles. I would stare at bathroom tiles that, to me, would always move. And I swear that motherfucker on the other side of the wall was moving my tiles.
Yeah. I didn't have time to look at tiles. I'd be Jaskoing
that
shit.
Oh, I'd spend days.
I'd just be like, we could probably strip this bathroom right there. Get her. There's one tub here, but what two tubs you think would be like?
I did have mirror things in bathrooms when I'd just be like doing coke.
That's
what I'm saying.
I
would say that's ghost-like.
That's ghost-like. But I've never seen a real ghost.
I have.
Have you?
Yeah, many. Many. I'm very in tune with the dead, though.
Chelsea Hotel or where?
Actually, it was my dead ex-husband would absolutely come to the bottom of my bed after he died, for about 3 years after he died, and I would see him.
And it's very awkward.
It was very... What the fuck is this guy doing here, Jerry kept saying. I don't understand where he's coming from. No, that was... He would appear... and laugh and sit at the end of my bed and laugh. And it went away. But it was clear. I could swear he was there. I knew he was there, but yet I didn't know. You know, I could, yeah, he was there, but he wasn't there. It was very eerie and odd. But I've also would swear that I see things in the streets that I had to cut off at a certain time because I was letting it in so much. And I, on New York streets, I would see certain things that I knew that weren't there that were just the feeling of energy. It was an energy of a ghost. Yeah. That's what I think I was seeing more.
Did you have a lot of friends who died?
Yeah, I mean.
And did you find that right after they died, you kind of felt them around or looking at you?
One of my friends, only one who I felt like. I had one die recently who, well, a few months ago, a good friend of mine from when we were teenagers. Mm-hmm. He he's one of those people, like, they would do speed with us and start really, really behaving fucking weird. You know, like, oh, got, like, talking to shit that wasn't there because you would have to do a pH test to that shit. And, you know, a man's pH test is different than a woman's. Most of it was made by men.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wow.
And, so it hits you different.
Yeah. And they would, like not all, but, I mean, I would be like, fuck, man, we got to get her help. Like, that kind of shit. And my friend Aaron, though, who's a guy, the minute he did it, and actually, even when he did coke, he had a weird, you know, we're just
what
like,
would happen?
Well, we were like snorting coke. Mm-hmm. This is like before it was like a real problem at a party. And he just like, we were just having a good time. There's a million people around, you know, we were snorting coke and shit and drinking. And he just like, I could see the look on his face. And he's a pretty fucking gnarly dude, you know, and he's just like, when the shit goes down, go to my dad's house. He's part of the underground. And I'm like, dude,
oh, come on, man. Like that dude. Oh, got
you know?
It.
That and guy. He would keep going, you know, like got a it. Real fucking bummer.
But dead serious.
Yeah. Dead serious.
Dead serious.
So he really was like a pot smoker a lot. And that's kind of what he did for, you know, for a few years. The rest of us got into meth and he wasn't really involved. But then he just kind of showed up. I can't remember. He was one of my best friends when we were young. I was with him every day. But the beginning of the speed thing, he was like working and had this girlfriend and he was doing okay. And then he started doing the speed with us. And the first or second time he did it, I remembered the cocaine thing I'm telling you about from when we were in high school, you know. And he did it and he was just like fucking, I mean, crazy fucking. Hey, you know, that motherfucker's looking at my girlfriend. You know, and like the girlfriend's not there. She's at work.
I totally know fucking, what you're talking like, about, yeah.
He's fucking looking. I go, dude, she's not even here. What the fuck? And it went, it was crazy. To where I told my other friends, I go, quit giving him that shit, man. I don't know what the fuck we got to do, but like, he, you know what? Something bad's going to happen. So I get busted. I go to prison. He shows up at some man's house and walks in to some house, starts cooking a steak. And the guy comes out with a gun and Aaron snatches the gun from him and then holds the homeowner at gunpoint and keeps cooking the steak, eats the steak, and then leaves. The cops come. Cops come. And he's sitting under like a fucking orange tree or something. Like, you know, like a kid eating whatever was, you know, an orange or something. With the gun on his lap, the cops came. And apparently he picked the gun up.
Oh, no.
And they ran him over, you know, and then beat him up. And they took him to jail. And he went to prison for about 8 years. And when he went in there, he was a very, like, a blonde-haired skateboarder kid, right? When he came out, he was like a, you know, the fucking, the swastikas, the whole fucking thing. You know what I mean? Like, heavy. But because of what the speed had done to his brain, you know what I mean? He could be manipulated into that, is my opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
And then he, you know, like, I saw him once, and I'm just like, I'm like, what is this shit? You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
man.
And he's like, it's weird. He was like basically asking me like, why didn't I? I'm like, Aaron, like, I go to prison. Like, I'm not like, I'm not a fucking Nazi. I'm not going to get like, he was kind of asking me, I think, why I didn't have like swastika tattoos or why I wasn't into the car or some shit like that. It was like that. And this is like when I saw him and I told my other friend, I go, I can't fuck with that dude anymore, man. You know, like, he's wild. Yeah. But then a few years went by and he seemed to kind of landed. Like, he was like, he liked Obama and shit. You know what I mean? Like, he kind of came back to earth. And then I didn't see him for, you know, a while. I didn't see him for years, actually. I probably saw him a few years ago, but about 6 or 7 months ago, I woke up at like, fuck, it must have been 6 in the morning. People are texting me. And I wake up and I'm like, and my friend Tim, who was his like foster brother, who like they grew up together. And Tim's like, I just got this. And it was him. And he had a shootout with the cops in Riverside on the 91 freeway.
Oh,
and he shot three cops. They killed him. But it was like he did it purposely to die. I don't know. He didn't need to fucking kill that cop. It was fucked up. You know, but like he got pulled over. They were going to tow his truck. But even when you see like the news footage, like he'd already, the cop let him take his tools out and shit. His wife was coming to get him and he walked back to the truck and he had a AR-15 in there and he pulled it out and just started shooting.
Whoa. So you think he just wanted to die?
Yeah, 100%. Mm.
That's some crazy shit.
I think he just
had
this thing where he's like that, because they weren't even going to take him to jail. Right. They were going to tow the truck and his wife was coming to get him. And I think he was just, that was it.
That's fucking sad. That's apparently horrible. He had
a Vicodin habit or a, you know, Oxy habit or something. Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's what I heard. But
Yeah.
You ever amazed that you just made it out as together as you are?
Hell yeah.
I am. There's a lot, but also like, I'll tell you this, like him, we had another, our friend Steve like hung himself and like everybody who's dead had, you know, they were just like 2 degrees off.
You kind of saw it coming.
Yeah. Like there was something not right about him. You know what I mean? So I think it was a little bit expected, you know? Mm. Are we good?
It got a little warmer out here.
Yeah, it did. It's weird. The wind died down.
I can sit here and listen to you guys. So this it's kind of a little surreal because I've seen the pictures that you guys take. So it's like, you know, I didn't realize that you had all that out there. It's really nice. I guess your listeners don't know.
This house, the garden's extremely green and lush because doctor lived here and would put
Charlie was telling us,
Yeah, he was a surgeon. He used to get the blood from the leftover plasma from the blood lab that wasn't suitable for humans anymore. And then he'd fill up his trunk with it. Mm-hmm. And then he'd bring it here and he'd put it in the garden because supposedly it's great for soil.
Wow.
Yeah. No, the blood garden. Fucking amazing.
That is great.
But seriously, do you guys, is there any, because we went on, is there any story you would have hoped to have told tonight or you felt like telling? Or
you know, I'll remember it in the car.
Exactly. Well Jerry's got a million stories. They just come out on
everybody does. But, you know that French phrase, le mot d'escalier?
What is it?
It's like after the party when you're on the stairs going up to bed, you're like, ah, fuck, all the stories come back. That's the shit you wish you'd said.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
You know that saying, right?
No, I've never heard le mot.
No, it's le mot. The words, M-O-T-S.
Le mot?
Could I be more pretentious than I am?
No, this is fucking awesome. You kidding me? I'm about to tell someone this tomorrow. Just like, let me tell you something. Jerry Stahl called me brother.
No. It's a cliche.
But how do you say it again?
It's just cool.
I'm probably butchering the French.
Le mot? But it means escalier. So it means like the as words you're going up on the stairs to bed.
Basically, it's like, I wish I'd said that when that motherfucker said that to me. I wish I'd said that.
Bless the French. I don't care.
They have some good words.
They have some great words.
He actually speaks quite a bit of
French. Please.
You speak more than you say.
Last night I went to my local, which I feel weird about going to.
Your local what?
A little bar, you know, local bar restaurant that's down the street. It's
where do you live? You were on here?
I live in Silver Lake. Yeah, I live on Lucille.
Oh, I knew. I used to live on Hyperion for years.
Oh, no shit.
Right above Sunset, yeah.
That was the first place I lived in. When I moved to Los Angeles full time, I lived on Hyperion.
Do you remember the Walking Man?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Who's the Walking Man?
Dude, doctor.
He was this doctor.
Yeah.
He would have a newspaper, and apparently he had some sort of arthritis or crippling rheumatism?
So you guys were kind of sort of on the same block at the same time? Is that what we're finding out
full time. Maybe before. I was probably before you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was an early.
But the Walking Man and Mr. Moon was still
Walking
there.
Man just walked
Walking
around reading
Man,
newspaper
yeah.
with his shirt off.
Yeah, walk around in like banana shorts, you know.
But you know what the interesting thing is?
Is he still around?
No, he cooled it. He wound up in a hot tub. They found him that he was.
What a California death.
It's so fucked up. He
walked right into a hot
tub. He walked around everywhere. He did. He had like cancer or something was wrong with him. He had some kind of a bone, some kind of a serious thing.
He couldn't be still. He had
to exercise. And he just was like, the only way he beat it and was like, the only way I beat this, stay healthy, is to walk around. But it turns out he was like slanging all these drugs to people and writing bad scripts and stuff.
Oh.
And it was starting to catch up with him. And they found him he had OD'd and put himself into his hot tub. So he OD'd. He took a bunch of, I mean, what appears to have happened. Some people thought foul play, and then I think they figured out, like, nah, this fool just fucking offed himself. He took a bunch of pills and then just put the lid on the hot tub.
Oh, no. I'm like,
man.
That's gruesome.
You're going to take a bunch of pills, like.
That's gruesome.
Do it in your bed. Like,
what
like,
the
like,
fuck?
First of all, clean up.
That's,
I mean, just
nasty.
Think forward. Think, pay it forward. Like, they
he like do, put him, he like dug his own coffin. That's like a coffin.
It's so strange
thing,
to me.
Right?
And it, yeah, I guess he, ooh. Yeah.
I never knew this. What a that's gruesome horrible. End
poor
for the walking
such a trip. I know. And poor I remember
guy.
Like there was that picture of him, you know.
Yeah, there's a newspaper article.
Yes. And there's that crazy picture of him on Sunset near whatever that play
tropical
the food yeah it was near it was like near there mm-hmm. and that other food is a food place called mm-hmm. that I used to go to and I can't remember local
mm-hmm.
and we'd walk down the street and you'd be like oh look there's the guy commemorated but and then mm-hmm. sayonara.
Close the lid.
He closed the lid on that shit.
More LA stories. I like it. I
this
like
part
it.
Of town is.
I was in that neighborhood
so
forever.
Yeah.
Helicopters, Charlie.
None of it. And I lived in Altadena from 95 to 98.
That's
right?
That's a whole world over
that
there.
That was
huh?
a trip. We had, there's a very big, like, African-American cowboy scene. A
lot of ranches there. Over there, yeah.
Really?
We boarded a couple of, like, yeah. dudes who would show up their horses, and they would show up straight up, like, out of Tom Mix movies. Like, they seriously, just like Gene Autry style.
Oh, wow.
Like powder blue, full suit.
Nice.
Into like high navy blue, you know.
Now, when you say you boarded them, were you running like a boarding house? Oh, boarding the horse.
They would board their horses there. We had five, we happened to have five horse stables. Mm-hmm. And on this piece of property, my mm-hmm. friends were like, hey, you want to move to Altadena? I'm like, well, all right, this meth is gone. Let's go. And we'll go up there and see if they got any meth up there. Hey, they did. And, But it was really crazy. I lived on Lincoln Boulevard, and there was like a hardcore gangbang scene, basically all black gangs. And then there was this crazy redneck, horse people, literally furry people scene. Like I don't know how to describe it. There was this one neighbor we
in
had
Altadena?
Who just was always covered in some sort of hairs. Like, say, horse hair, cat hair, puppy.
You don't
whatever.
Mean like he was a furry. He yeah, dressed up like
no,
a
No, she wasn't a furry.
She just
she wasn't to
animal
your,
hair.
To an episode that I, by the way.
By the way, I was picketed. They picketed CBS because I confused furries and the other one.
There's no way.
What's the other one besides furry?
Furby.
No, there's furry and then there's the other one who are cartoon characters.
Oh! The
cosplay?
There's two right. One people, one group dresses up like stuffed
you're
animals.
You're a CSI
right.
episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I got them. I confused them. I conflated the two.
It was
and they were not had the community. The furry community was after me for a while. So.
Yeah, because you call it fur. You did. You called it a fur something.
I had a buddy
this line
of mine
make no
who,
sense
who was
I can't
a,
remember
a,
it was a
as by his own
thing.
Words, fervert.
Which that's right. They were called ferverts.
Fervert. Such
big
a
people
really?
In New York.
This guy I knew, Dave.
Sort of, yeah.
Rad dude, professor, mm-hmm. smart
he
as a
whip. He would dress up in the.
I know. Why would I say that? Smart as a whip. No, it is a little odd because at some point you're just putting your foot, you're putting your right leg.
You're dressing up as a
into
teddy bear.
A fucking chihuahua outfit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. No matter what you're teaching.
And then you get
in
the scritch pile.
Yeah. The scritch.
What is that?
Figure it out.
Oh, that's sweet scritch.
They all get into a pile and they start to scritch.
They start to scritch, and it's basically
I'm
like
not
group,
sure. My
it's
ears
like a
can
group girl
it.
Fucking nut chase, man.
Oh, no.
I've never even heard of that.
With a fur.
Basically.
With
I mean, it is.
Furries and. Yeah.
Oh,
why can't I?
No.
I got a deep immersive lesson that. From a buddy of mine from Maryland, our buddy Chris. In his one of his best friends, he had two really, really close friends who came from Maryland. One dude was named Pastor Future. That was his nickname. Mm-hmm. And we used to fully dress up like not just in women's clothing, mm-hmm. but in iconic women's clothing through from fantasy and fairy tales. Like you'd
yeah.
show up and this dude who was built basically like a buffed out football playing John Hamm. with a, you know, with a jaw like that dude who plays the Tick, you know, whatever that big fella.
I know, yeah.
And he'd be in a little Bo Peep outfit.
Yeah.
You know, and this is like the late 70s fucking Hagerstown, Maryland.
Oh.
So my buddy was like, what a trip. And they would go hiking with him, and he'd go hiking in his little Bo Peep outfit. And his,
oh, really?
And his.
Take some balls.
And then all these like kind of quasi redneck dudes would go hiking with their best friend, you know? And it's amazing. And that, from that whole world, I also met this other fella who gave me the lowdown on what the fervert scene was
about.
And scritching was one of the first things he told me. He's like, that's the best part. You get into that scritch.
The scritch. I've never even
heard of that.
Dude, me either. Yeah.
Good.
I love this world.
Look at me teaching you something.
Oh, I'd never heard of a scritch.
Yeah. Little outsider groups. Yes. I love writing about those, that kind of shit.
Wow.
Infantilism.
Were you a furry? I mean, I don't
me? No, I mean, I am one if you were to just take my shirt off.
But that's you don't need to brag.
That's just a genetic problem. Like, yeah. I am some sort of I'm a sea otter. With human
how sleek.
Legs. Yeah, nothing sleek here. No, I've never been a fervert. But
your friend was a full on furry.
Friend of a friend. Yeah, full on. He was down to clown with the fur. I don't know what his character was. I want to say it was like. I really don't. I would be making it up. But I have a vision in my head that it was some kind of like hedgehoggy thing. Just knowing the dude, that has nothing to do with what the reality was. I don't remember what his thing was. But the conventions and the scritching and the
The episode was based on somebody in Arizona who was dressed up. And they literally thought he was a coyote. He was on their property, and they shot him.
No way.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
And there's an infantilism. I was a big CSI man.
Oh, yeah.
I was a big CSI guy.
You're hitting all the greatest hits from 10 years ago.
Yes. I am a huge William Peterson fan.
Nicest guy.
I am proud that I didn't fuck. He is.
Met him in the Hollywood Y. It's how I got the gig.
And
one of the few nude encounters that resulted in the job. We were in the sauna.
No,
and he's like,
shit.
Oh, my kid, my daughter read your book, whatever. What are you doing? I'm going to do this TV show. And then he actually called me. Like, that never happens. The guy like called me.
That's awesome.
Years later.
Dude, that's so good to hear. I am a nerd. Like,
stand up guy.
With William
Great
Peterson.
Guy.
If you loved Manhunter, Michael Mann, like, I followed him through that and Live and Die in
and
LA.
Theater,
like,
too.
I was
he does
in
a lot
all his
Steppenwolf.
Theater. He was in the Steppenwolf group.
Yeah.
And I know a bunch of those dudes from Chicago.
Nicest guy.
Yeah.
You'd
good
love
dude.
Him. Yeah.
I met him once at a friend's rib off. This the rib off they do with a bunch of Chicago guys, and I was so fucking nerded out, and I wanted to meet him, and I was like, just cool out, Mike. Like, what are you doing? Don't freak out. Like, you're a girl. This is like 5-6 years ago. This isn't long ago, and I was like, I gotta get near William Peterson. Like, you know, I had to full on like this when I met Batman. You know, Adam West when I was 8. It was the same thing. I was just like, he's a manhunter. Fucking dude is the best. And this dude rolls up to him, and he's going over to this fridge. They have this great setup, and there's a whole garage area with couches and a fridge full of beer and blah, blah, blah. People are making ribs, and we're having a laugh. A bunch of Chicago fools, a lot of actor types. It's fun. And he goes over to get himself a beer, and this dude comes up and kind of corners him.
Ooh.
And is like, and I hear what I was going to probably wind up saying being said. He's just like, I'm such a huge fan. I love Manhunter. It's such a seminal film for me. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm that dickhead. I'm about to be that dickhead. He saved me from being that dickhead, right? So I'm like, fucking be cool. Just be cool. You're going to talk to William Peterson. Be cool. And I'm sitting there by my buddy's barbecue setup, and there's a box on the ground and this is why it's so good to hear that he's a good guy, because this was my experience too. There was a box on the ground full of like rib bones and little scraplets that people had tossed in there thinking like, oh, that's garbage. And I don't know if it was or it wasn't, but it was out. And there was a dog that somebody had at this party. And the dog was sniffing around the riblets, you know, and had gotten a hold of a rib, bone, and they're brittle. You know, these are like baby back rib bones, so they're gonna break and fucking fuck him up. And William Peterson was like, "Whose dog is this?" And I was like, "It's not mine." And I was like, "But I'll help you in anything you want to do with that dog." And he was just like, "Oh," he's like, "Well, we should probably get this box away from him. He seems to want, hey, boy." And he leans down. He takes a rib out of the dog's mouth. And he's like, "No, it's all right, buddy." He gives him a little tussle. And I'm over there. I just cut to me. I'm just masturbating. No, I was seriously just fully just like, "I'm on the show." And this dude seriously takes that box and like puts it up high. He's like, "Well, we don't want him to get close to that again, do we?" And I was like, "No, fuck no. Yeah, no, not at all. Is that all right? Cool." And da, 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 da. And he goes, "Hey, I'm Bill." And I was like, "Hey, I'm Mike." And and he was like, "Yeah, nice to meet you." He said, "Who are you friends with here?" And I was like, "I'm friends with Tom." The guy's like, "Oh man, I know Tom. That's great. I mean, that's why I'm here. Oh, that's great." And he just walked away and whatever. And I was like, "Oh, it's so good.
That's good.
It was good. That's I had.
He's probably still talking about you.
I bet he ain't, but I'd like to think he is. I just like, I remember this time I saved this dog's life. And there was this real enthusiastic tubby guy staring at me. He was real sweet. He was real sweet. Really held onto my hand a little too fucking long. He's so goddamn handsome. He is a handsome man. He is. He's a movie star. I mean, he's still.
That's amazing.
By the way, just for closure, it's plushies and furries.
Plushies.
Plushies. Yeah.
Plushies and furries. If you're. I see
you as more of a plushie.
I thank you
in a good way. I mean,
I would gladly. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Well, one is based on an animal. One is based on like a cartoon character.
Oh, that would be the thing I'd be better
at. The plushie is the cartoon character?
Yes. So. Yeah.
What is it?
But again, they might pick at me again. I might fuck it up a second time.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll get home and there'll be a line of irate animals.
It's all bad. Yeah. It's all bad. Yeah, Jerry Stallone gets it wrong again.
Fucking loser.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I did a commercial one time where it was a Honda commercial, and we had like a, you know, like a basket, like a hot air balloon.
Sure.
And the thing was, it was a bunch of nudists in this hot air balloon or something. There was these nudists, but
what was it an ad for?
For Honda.
Oh, cool.
But these nudists come to the fitting or whatever, you know, and I'm like, all right. So I'm like, put these on, you know, just fucking flesh colored under, you know, like a dance belt. Mm-hmm. And they're like, a few of them were okay with it, but then like a good four or five of them are like, I don't want to wear that. I'm like, well, it's, you know, because he goes, yeah, I'm a nudist. I'm like, oh, you know, and he's like, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, it was a fucking thing. Like,
no joke.
Like they got mad. Like, listen, we're fucking nudists. Like we're not fake nude. Like it became a
now, were you having a conversation with like a naked man? Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Nice.
But it was like, they're like, no, we have to be nude and shit. I'm like, you got to take this up with the producer. You know what I mean? I'm like,
fuck. Not my area.
Yeah.
That's incredible. We got to be nude.
Yeah. And they were genuinely, probably like those plushy people.
Yeah, when it's your world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's
serious.
You know.
It's a serious, like.
We may make carnival with it.
Yeah.
Their world. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's.
I once, I did a story in those journalism days back up at Elysium. There used to be a nudist colony in Elysium up in Topanga.
Really? Oh.
And it was a story on Nude Singles Weekend. And all I remember is that at the buffet, it was just at like genital level.
Oh.
So everybody was just like dangling in the pot roast.
Oh. No way. Oh.
I'm so not eating this ham sandwich.
Oh.
I don't want to watch people eat nude.
No.
That's wrong.
Definitely not.
No.
Who wants to do that?
No. Zoe, what was the greatest drug you've ever done?
Being a garbage head, I like them all. I bet probably heroin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just straight heroin?
I do love a speedball, but I that was only later and after that I started adding coke to it just because I wasn't getting anything from the dope anymore. But generally, I'm not a speed lover.
No. Oh, okay.
So yeah, probably hands down any opiate.
Yeah.
Do you have to explain to the non-professionals, the audience, that speedball is coke and heroin and not speed?
I think we have, but because you know now they're like, well, that's like a dude like Russian Danny and them. It's a big thing people are doing. What are they? They're called goofballs, which is
what's a goofball?
Meth and heroin.
Oh,
now wasn't a goofball something else back way in the, back in the day?
I think so.
in the Burroughs
back in
era?
The William Burroughs day.
Yeah.
I think that was more of a downer.
Inhalers and shit.
Yeah.
That's what it was?
Yeah, someone like
that.
No,
that's not what that was. But back in the day when they would soak those.
Yeah.
They'd take out the Ampulets asthma inhaler and soak them in coffee and then drink it.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Was it speed in it? In the asthma inhaler? Fuck.
Benny's. Yeah. Anyway, but I think a goofball was like a
downer. I think it was a downer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Some sort of a downer.
Well, I mean, when I got sober, I didn't know anybody who did speed and hair. You know, everybody had a thing, like junkies.
What, you were like a loner? You just, nobody did your drug when you came in?
No, a handful of people. But, I mean, nobody did both, like speed and heroin.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, in prison, like nobody, you know, there's one junkies and, the and other. There's tweakers. Yeah. But
it's like being a Shriner and a mummer.
Yeah. My friend, Toby, would get strung out on heroin, and in order to kick, he would shoot speed for like 2 weeks.
Well, I tried to get off that. Heroin by smoking crack.
We've all tried it.
Sure.
Did it work? No.
No.
Might FDA it work approved, out for you? But yeah.
No, it turned me, actually, I overdosed severely. I overdosed really badly in the Chelsea, and I went blind for 6 hours on coke. No, my heart stopped and everything. I was with a doctor. Yeah, but he told me that I died for 3 minutes, and I woke up and I couldn't see anything. But that was from overdosing on coke. Yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, it was gnarly, fucking
Coke's
nasty.
Fucking gnarly.
No, it's disgusting. But I mean, horrible.
I
can't.
I don't know if it's because coke and heroin come from some sort of plant, and speed is just straight up fucking
straight
chemicals.
Up.
But I mean, like,
ooh, brutal.
Good point.
It is fucking awful. You know?
I just look at it and I just, it just hurts to look
it's
at
like,
it. It's,
I think that those, I really think people who do speak commit the worst atrocities. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's like when they go to a fucking house and somebody's cut up their fucking husband or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucked up.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. It does something to your brain, as you know.
Yeah, it gives you staying power.
Like nothing else.
My kind of first speed run, which like, I mean, I had tried meth. I was a daily drinker, you know, from when I was a teenager. But like, I would do speed or coke if somebody had it. And that, you know, do it all night. And then that, it just wouldn't think, which is what
wouldn't stick.
About.
Yeah.
Like wouldn't be around. Mm-hmm. And I just go back to drinking and then somebody would have it. And I, you know, whatever. The first like speed run I went on was for a few months and I was just fucking kind of drinking myself. I don't know how old I was. I'm going to say 20, but I was living in San Dimas, this girlfriend of mine at the time. And I ran into a girl I knew from school and she was her boyfriend, because it's the next city over, right? And her boyfriend lived there and I met him. And then my girlfriend wasn't around, his wasn't around. And he's like, hey, you know, like, I don't know how we got on the thing, but he's like, you do speed and, you know, or whatever. And they were repo men, the two of them, their roommates. And so we would do speed and I didn't really repo cars, but I would go with them while they did it.
Wow.
Which was kind of fucking great.
Yeah, really.
I mean, it's like in the middle of the night and like.
That's some dangerous shit.
We'd do speed, you know, and then we'd fucking, they'd have this list, you know, and they just, it's like, we'd take off and wherever you're going, you go to this address, you'd look for the car. And there's all these weird rules. Like if it was in a garage, a closed garage, you can't go in there, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. If there's a chain link fence that's closed, you can't get it. But if it's in a driveway or on the street or, you know, what, you follow them somewhere, but we pull up, we'd see the car. Then they'd pull around the corner and call the police station and tell them, hey, we're about to take this car, so forth and so on. And they had, this is in, fuck man, like 1990, 91. Mm-hmm. And they had a fucking, a key maker. Once they saw the car, you know, they would look in this little book and they'd punch the key, make the key right there. And then Shane would get out and go up and get the car, right? And so I'm having a hard time. Yeah, we would get speed from whoever we could, because this is before everybody was making it, right? And there was this like this girl who lived in the apartments, her mom's boyfriend was this kind of like white trash dude, you know, like drove a Camaro and shit and that like fucking mustache, you know, looked like a bad guy on Cops or Chips. That's what he looked like.
Totally.
Like a villain, like a car thief on Chips. Like, and he was just a fucking scumbag. Steve was his name. But, and I somehow met him, but he would set the worst speed. It was all chopped, stepped on, you know, like barely got you high. But so we didn't have any one night we wanted to go do it. And I go, fuck, I can ask this fucking dude, Steve. So I go and get this speed from Steve, and we snorted, we go do our thing. And Steve lived like a few blocks from this apartment building, but his girlfriend lived in the apartment building. So they had driven me over to Steve's house. I got the speed and we did the thing. So like I wasn't with them one night. And then they called me the next day. You're like, you're not gonna fucking believe this. I'm like, what? They go, we went to get this car last night and it was fucking Steve's. They didn't realize. Then he came out with a gun.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Oh shit!
So they didn't get the car, but
they just.
I'm like, that's fu-, like, that like it's that funny. House we went and got the speed from. I'm like, well, that fucking Camaro is his car. like exactly what you're picturing, too. Like a white Camaro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, did it have the Firebird insignia?
Yeah.
Like on the-
that kind I of shit. That. Yeah. Jesus, dude.
That's wow. Incredible.
I'm sure he's dead, you know? Like,
oh, Jesus.
Now you live to talk about it, man.
Yeah.
You got good. Some good ones.
Thanks.
You got some good ones.
You got some good ones.
We all got some good ones.
Yours sound much classier.
Yeah,
with your accent.
No. Oh, no, 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 believe me.
Well, guys, this was great. Did you get enough material, Charlie?
Oh, yeah.
Love. It was great. Thank you. Thanks for
thank
coming.
Thank you. This
thank
is amazing.
You. For, yeah. Thank you.
Nice to see where the magic
honor.
Happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming. One sure. more time. What's the name of your...
The House of ASMR.
On YouTube, right?
On YouTube.
The House of ASMR on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a link on Instagram.
Oh, great. Perfect. All yeah. Right. We'll tag your Instagram. Yeah. Cool. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Yo, thanks for listening, guys. Like and subscribe on wherever you're listening to this right now. Follow us on Instagram at @itisallbad and tell your friends. The more the merrier.
Spread the word.
Yeah.
Spread the word. The word of the week is it is
spread.
Spread.
Yeah. Later, guys.
Later.